Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us at the Wise Women Media, the radio show. We have another great installment for you and a wonderful guest. This is a pre-recorded show. I'm going to open it up with a song, and then I'll give you some announcements, and then I'll start the pre-record. So our song for tonight is Florence and the Machine, Cosmic Love, and this is a live recording.
Oh,
That, again, was Florence and the Machine and Cosmic Love.
Florence and the Machine.
Great song. Let me go ahead and give you a few announcements. I will be on the air on Sunday night. My friend Richard Spizak with his show, the Progressive News Network, has invited me on, and the show goes from 7:30 to 9 p.m. It will be a progressive roundtable discussion with quite a few people actually involved. I'll probably have one of the later slots. You can see more information and actually the Blog Talk player on his website, newmercurymedia.com. So that show, again, is Sunday night from 7:30 to 9. I wanted to give a big shout-out to our sponsors, Daughters of Isis, Florida Nature Photos, Here Be Monsters on Blog Talk Radio that provides us with this time slot every week, Power New Media and Public Relations, Roundtree 7, Tarot and Stars, and the Hoodooed blog. You can see more information, archives to all of our shows, links to our social networks, complete descriptions of each show on wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and start the pre-recorded interview that I did earlier this week with Devon Chirolo, and she is going to talk about the mining that is underway in Hernando County and the placement of another mine. Hernando County currently has 22 of them, and she's going to talk about why this isn't such a good idea. She's going to give us some background information. The company that we're talking about is CEMEX. And I did want to remind people that we had a major win in Florida. Before we start this interview, we had a major win with the oil companies and the fracking down in the Everglades. It took a lot of people making a whole lot of noise, and we chased the oil companies out of Florida. So we can do it again with this mining company, CEMEX, and they are from Mexico. And this effort is not going to give us any jobs here in Hernando County. I think one job was slated. And there's so much more background information that Devon's going to give us. So enjoy the interview. And if you have any feedback, please be sure to see the website neighborsagainstmining.org. So here we go. And I hope you can forward this link to all your friends as well. Devon, thank you for being on our show today. And can you pronounce your last name? Because that's a little bit of a tongue twister for me.
Sure. My husband's Italian. It's Chirolo, and we always say it's like Key West because we lived in Key West for so long.
And after looking at your bio here, you have done so many things as far as environmental, political. Can you give us kind of a rundown on some of the highlights of your bio and some of the things you enjoyed doing and that you were able to accomplish?
Well, you know the Chinese proverb, may you live in interesting times, and I feel like I've been very blessed to live in a time when you can do what your heart really wants you to do, and I've explored my opportunities and been able to utilize my education in political science to try to make the world better. And my focus really has been on coral reefs. I did live in Key West for quite a while, and my husband and I started a nonprofit group called Reef Relief to protect the coral reefs there. He was a charter boat captain. He'd take people out to the reef, and they started out back in the 80s, late 70s, just dropping anchors on the coral, and we realized we were damaging the coral, that it was actually alive, which we didn't know at the time. And so we started a simple effort to just put in some mooring buoys like they had at Luque in Key Largo. And that kind of grew to be a huge organization, membership organization, with educational programs. We got involved in policy efforts to stop offshore oil with a 10-year drilling ban from President Bush. That was followed with creating the Coral Reef Coalition of all the different groups involved. I was the first coordinator of that to try to get legislation introduced to create the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary. And my focus on water quality was fulfilled because this was the first sanctuary to have a water quality protection program, and I helped drive that to make sure that the coral reefs of the Keys had the clean, clear water that they need. And we worked on so many different issues. Improving water quality is one of the big ones, educating students and target users. Working with scientists, Craig monitored the reefs and ended up discovering new diseases, and we track it back to the sources, and then I try to find out why the pollution was occurring and go after the sources. We got a phosphate ban passed. We improved the rules for shallow injection wells. Did all kinds of good stuff, created no discharge zones for boat or sewage. And then we also started working with groups throughout the Caribbean to replicate the efforts of what we'd done at the grassroots level in the Keys, in Honduras, in Jamaica, in the Bahamas, Puerto Rico. Worked all over to help other volunteers like ourselves who love the ocean do simple things, direct actions, and educate ourselves on ways that we could protect the most biologically diverse ecosystem in the world, the coral reefs. And so after so many years, Craig and I finally retired from Reef Relief and moved up here to Brooksville, Florida, about 8 years ago. We bought an old house, a historic house in the Old Town District on a hill with a brick street, and restored it. And I started looking around and getting involved, and I became a volunteer for the Obama campaign and was able to meet other progressive people in town. Worked with the Democratic Party to help them do strategic planning to increase their capacity to succeed. And we actually turned Hernando into a purple state for the election, which was kind of fun. Recently, though, it's been kind of interesting, and you're a part of this, Anita.
Yeah, it's kind of like it just fell on me, and I said, okay, I live here in Hernando, so I have to say something, and I have to do something since I know about it.
Exactly. Speak truth to power, right? So you, like I, found out about the fact that CEMEX wants to begin open-pit industrial lime rock mining for a period of 20 years right outside of the Old Town District in Brooksville, across from the hospital, on a huge, beautiful, biologically diverse stack of canopied forest, 730 acres of pasture land and forest that includes many endangered species, special species of concern, and threatened species. And an area that is also bordered by a lot of residences. And there is mining going on further north of this parcel. And even though the residents of the area aren't as close to that, they've still endured a lot of blasting and noise and big trucks and disruption. And so they have a lot of concerns about the CEMEX proposal. So we've all gotten together and created a little grassroots effort called Neighbors Against Mining, which has formally opposed the CEMEX proposal. They're seeking a comprehensive land use amendment. So the burden is on them to prove that what they want to do is consistent with the goals, policies, and objectives of the county. And we were fortunate to have a planning commission meeting just this past week, Monday, and the planning commission came out 4-1 with a finding that the CEMEX proposal, the application, was not consistent with the Hernando County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. And so that was a great victory for us, but it's just really the first stepping stone. The next step will be the county commission meeting, August 12th, and they also wear two hats. They have also assumed the role of the local planning agency. And so this is going to be a very pivotal meeting, at which time we will go through the same issues that we brought up at the planning commission. And so it's going to be a great challenge for us to convince the county commissioners to reach the same conclusion that the planning commission did.
So this is like step one, what we did this past week. We move on to step B, which will be the meeting on August 12th, and it's just going to continue on until we stop it. How do you think the county commissioners are, well, I can't ask you about how they're thinking, but where do you think they are at in knowing a few of them,
Anita,
on this issue?
And by the
for
way,
the county?
If the county commissioners turn this down, it's over. If CEMEX wants to sue the county, that's fine, but our efforts will be done. So that's
Can you
great
repeat that? I think there was a little bit of...
And it's kind of interesting because you remember when the Department of Community Affairs had a very pivotal role in community planning? Well,
right.
Our governor has eliminated the DCA, and so it's kind of working against them in this respect because now there's no oversight. The county commission has all the power. They make that decision August 12th, and that's what happens. The only repercussion that can come out of a decision that CMEX doesn't like is a court battle with CMEX and between CMEX and the county. So it's kind of interesting. But to get back to your question, you know, everybody who lives in Hernando County knows that this has been a very big Republican stronghold. There's a lot of Tea Party
right.
people here. It's a very conservative southern atmosphere. I'm frankly, after coming from Key West, that was so incredibly liberal and well-educated and supported the arts and generous and just much, much more progressive. It was a real experience to live in this neighborhood. And I have to say, my husband and I both love Brooksville. It's a beautiful town. We love the home we've restored. We love the people that we've met, and it's our new home, and we love it dearly. But it's been an experience to learn how strong these conservatives, how deep-rooted these conservative values are in this community. And so reflecting that, we have a majority of Republicans on the county commission. We have one Democrat, Diane Rowden, and she's definitely with us on the mining and has been instrumental in helping us from within. But the others are all Republicans. And so on the face of it, it would seem that we may have an uphill battle. But again, the burden is on the applicant to prove that this application is consistent with the current plan. And I can go into some of the issues because we do have time to do that. But before I do, let's talk a minute about the politics because that's what's happening now. This is a time when the chairman, Wayne Dukes, is running for re-election.
Exactly. Yep.
And so this can go either way for us. Obviously, the CMEX folks and the property owners, there are five very wealthy, older, very established and influential people in Brooksville and Hernando who have merged their lands, many of them inherited from their relatives, the Likes family, for example, is part of it. They put all this land together to create this 730-acre parcel. And then they approach CMEX to lease them the property for 20 years for this open pit mining with the thought that after the 20 years was over, they're going to reserve a little portion of the property along the fronting of the highway, Cortez Boulevard.
Can you repeat that sentence? Because I think you actually blocked out for just that sentence. Can you repeat just the last one?
Sure. The property owners, there are five property owners who have merged all their land into a 738-acre tract, which they have leased to CMEX for 20 years. After 20 years, they intend to develop a strip of land along the highway fronting Cortez Boulevard, the parcel, and make it a retail commercial development. And so the idea that this would fly is really, really interesting because they had originally thought that they would develop it for that right away, but then the bust occurred in 2007, and the economic situation in Hernando has been pretty dismal. In fact, Brooksville, 25% of Brooksville's residents live below the poverty level. There are a lot of commercial buildings that have been vacant in downtown Brooksville since I moved here 8 years ago, so it's been really economically depressed. And these property owners thought, well, because nothing's happening as far as building now, why don't we lease it to the miners, and then after 20 years we'll develop it. And so the political angle is that we have all of the goodwill that they have built up in the community over the years, along with the goodwill that CMEX has built up. As I've learned, the county has been a mining county for a long time. CMEX alone has seven other locations where they mine in the county. And so I feel that we're reaching a juncture in time where Hernando is trying to invest and go forward with nature tourism. Chinsegut Hill is recently being restored with state funds, cultural tourism, historic tourism. is really the sustainable path that the county has expressed a desire to move into as we leave mining into our past. And so this application is kind of a milepost to say, okay, are we going forward into sustainable ecotourism, or are we going backwards back into the Stone Age and go back to the mining that has kept this area economically depressed for all these years?
So that's the basic question. Yeah, that's the basic question right there. And one of the things that's especially revealing is when they're actually getting a location and moving into mine, there are hardly no jobs created for the local people. Can you speak to that?
One new job. CMEX will move around the people they already have. So the county, it's a really bad deal for the county. The county will give up 20 years of growth and the opportunity to increase nature tourism with something that is clearly an eyesore, an ecological abomination, and isn't going to attract tourists. No new jobs for 20 years at a time when we could be moving into a more sustainable lifestyle. And let me mention again, though, so we have the powerful landowners. We have CMEX that has a lot of power. They build enrichment centers. They build a senior citizen center at the hospital, which has been across the street from this parcel, which has been the elephant in the room and hasn't taken a position of yay or nay on it, although it's obvious that the atmospheric pollution from the silica dust is a known health standard. And there's a great amount of community concern about the impacts that the dust and the mining and the blasting will have on delicate operations and equipment at the hospital. So now we've got this political swing to it where these candidates are beginning to have their constituents say, what's your position on the mining? And I have to tell you, it's been a gusher of support in this effort with Neighbors Against Mining to build the opposition. In a month's time, we've built an email list of over 200 people. We've had a number of donors, small grassroots folks who are contributing to the effort. Anita, you're part of our action team. We have about a dozen people that actively meet and organize this effort. We've had a tremendous response. We had 27 speakers speak out opposing this at the Planning Commission meeting. There were over 70 comments filed with the Hernando County Planning Department before the hearing was held. And we've developed a petition drive that we're doing, and we have hundreds of people in the county who have signed the petition opposing mining. So the political end of it is that the candidates are going to feel the heat not only from the big guys who can make donations to their fund, their campaign fund, but all the little people in town that don't want the mining and are saying, well, if you're going to go for the mining, I'm not going to vote for you. And I've already heard that from people. So it's going to be very interesting how this plays out politically, you know. But it is becoming a campaign issue.
And that is one of the big things that people have to realize is that there is, we have the power still with the vote and who we vote for and who we vote in and who we vote out. But we also have the power with our pocketbook and where we spend our money. And that's what we have to remember when we go into those voting, when we go into the polls to vote, is the people still have the power. We did fill the room on Monday, on the 14th of July, and hopefully we'll be filling the room again on August 12th. So that makes a big difference. Pardon?
We overfilled it. That room, CMEX got in there an hour before the meeting and filled half of the room with their CMEX employees, whom I'm sure were being paid to sit there, so that when our people arrived, there wasn't enough room, and they actually had to open up the grand jury room with a televised monitor so that the overflow crowd could see the hearings. And it was funny because we had so many speakers that as one speaker would stand up and speak and leave the room, they would let someone else from the other room come in who wanted to be a speaker. So we had kind of a really good little system going. But it was funny because when our attorney, Ralph Brooks, arrived, the room was full and they wouldn't let him in. And I saw him outside and I asked one of our friends who was sitting there that I knew would not be speaking if she would mind giving up her seat to our lawyer. And so we barely got him in the room. And
so
another thing that was interesting is they told us we could not have any signs in the room. And I've been to other meetings where people put up signs, so I thought that was pretty curious. So in it, it started out kind of on a very serious, not too friendly note, you know.
Well, I can tell you that the security that were outside the building were or outside the room were not too friendly, and there were times when they had us line up and they would not let us in, even when people were coming out, and they really threw their weight around, and it bordered on intimidation quite a bit out
it
there.
It wasn't friendly at all, and I've been to other hearings where they let people stand through the rear of the room. I generally tend to like to do that because I'm a pacer, you know. They wouldn't allow anyone to stand up, you know. They wouldn't allow any of our signs in. I had brought displays to support my presentation, and I just wanted to put them on the side of the room, and the woman came up and told me I had to remove them. You know, it was very interesting. And yet, after it all was said and done, they voted with us. And I was so proud of all the speakers who stood up. And we worked really hard, as you well know, divvying up all the different issues, because this proposal is wrong in so many ways. So we had speakers, and I can probably spend a minute and go through the list of all the different things that are wrong with this proposal, because it's pretty daunting, you know, when you think about it, you know. First of all, there's the issue of adjacent uses. The comp plan will only let you do something if it's consistent with adjacent uses. Well, first of all, we have all the residents. They've been close enough to it, even though it's been further off from with mining, and they don't like it, and they don't want any more. And a lot of them stood up and said no. So the residential use is not compatible. Secondly, there's the hospital across the street. There's great community concern about that, even though they've been the elephant in the room and not saying anything. But they are going to have a board meeting this month to discuss the issue, and hopefully we'll be hearing something more from them. Then there's the business corridor. Cortez Boulevard is the business corridor leading from right into the town of Brooksville. The other end of it goes to Spring Hill and to our primary tourist attraction, Wickiwatchee. So I personally went and talked to all the businesses along 50, and I did not hear one person say they thought this would be a good idea for the business corridor. So that adjacent use is incompatible, and the people there, the businesses oppose it. They don't want mining to interrupt their business corridor there. Then there's the
I have a question. Like in the state, it's estimated that there's $85 billion made annually per tourism, you know, with tourism. Does anybody have a breakdown on what that would be for Hernando County?
I'm sorry, you said Hernando makes $85 billion?
No, the state of Florida makes $85 billion a year annually in tourism. But I was just wondering how that broke down for Hernando County.
The Hernando tourism movement is nascent. It's just beginning. Tammy Heehan of the Tourist Bureau is doing a fabulous job of trying to promote nature tourism and cultural and historical tourism. But we have very few guest houses. We have a few clustered hotels at 75, you know. And we have some fishing charters. We have some parks and things. We have the value that we do have is extensive forests with the Coochie, trails, canoeing, paths, even horseback riding trails. And so the natural resources that we have to market have been largely underappreciated in this town. And Tammy's doing her best building websites, doing things to promote it. But it's really in its beginning stages. And when I met with Paul Wazorik, the planner for the Hernando County Planning Department, he was not even of the opinion that mining necessarily conflicted with tourism. And he said, really, you know, Hernando really doesn't know that much about tourism or how to promote it. And we're still learning. And so I feel that one of the things that Hernando could be doing is some strategic planning to analyze all that we have and how we can best promote it, because we're still learning how to do that, you know.
And there's no doubt, no question as to the beautiful wild places that are still in Hernando County. It's just incredible, incredible waters and forests
And so when we get back to the discussion of the adjacent uses, our biggest tourist attraction is Wickiwatchee right now, which is at the other end of Highway 50, you know. So The conflicts are residential, the business corridor, and leading right into the residential community of Brooksville. There are over 7,000 people living in Brooksville, so close to a mine. And that's incompatible. The air pollution, the atmospheric deposition, the particulate matter from silica dust is dangerous to your health. It's a known carcinogen. The silica can predicate a number of lung diseases and other issues. And one of our members, Cindy Dietrich, is a registered nurse, and she's been tracking this since the CMEX application was first filed in 2011. And she has documented that Hernando County has more sick people per capita than any other county in Florida. You've got to start wondering why. And when you look further north of the mining that's going on, north of the parcel here, there is the CMEX cogeneration electric plant where they make the cement. And that plant, all the product, if this new mining were allowed, all the mining product would go to this plant. And the NAACP has done a study called Cold-Blooded, putting profits before people. And they analyze all the various environmental
and,
justice issues. And they bring up this.
You're cutting up. Can you repeat that last sentence? Can you repeat that last sentence? Because we lost you for about.
Here. I haven't gone anywhere. Anyway, the coal plant, the CMEX cogeneration plant, the NAACP report, Cold-Blooded, putting profits before people, found that it was the fifth dirtiest coal electric plant in Florida, the 25th dirtiest plant in the United States. So we're looking at something that if we allow this mining to happen, it's going to continue to feed a plant that has been fined over $1 million by the EPA for air quality violations for mercury and dioxin emissions. And the residential area of Brooksville is downwind of that plant. So that's another major adjacent use that is inconsistent with the current comp plan. So we've got the residents, we've got the business corridor, they've got the tourism at the other end, and we've got the residential node in Brooksville. So, you know, none of these adjacent uses are compatible with mining, and that's a really big deal, you know. And then when you look at the natural and conservation impacts, you realize that, oh, and then there's a hospital, of course, across the street. So there are five incompatible adjacent uses. So then the other side of the discussion is regarding the consistency with the comp plan deals with conservation, habitat, and endangered species. And the upland hardwood hammock contained within this parcel is rated the highest level of strategic conservation lands in the state of Florida. It's that corridor along the northern parcel of the land through which the protected canopy road runs. Fort Dade Avenue runs north and south, and then it curves and runs east and west, and then the portion that runs east and west is one of the most beautiful canopy roads I've ever seen. Well, it's a canopy road because it's part of a huge hardwood canopy. And that canopy extends onto quite a bit of the land that the miners want to outright remove. And that habitat is extremely valuable. In fact, there was one speaker at the hearing who I had just heard at the historic Hernando meeting. He's a PhD student at the University of South Florida and a Brooksville resident. And he has studied the Onatolunga Hammock, which is the Brooksville Ridge, where the Aboriginal Indians originally lived in this area on this hammock, and it's the richest, most productive farmland there is. And then he gave us a report about how the Seminoles then claimed it, and then the United States came in and claimed it, then they sold the land. But over a long period of history, this ridge has been highly valued for its agricultural potential. And in fact, we do have a lot of good farms around here, and that's one of the nice things about the rural atmosphere that we have. And so he spoke and said it would be a travesty to outright remove this valuable topsoil to excavate the limestone below. And so that habitat is a big issue in terms of consistency with the comp plan. And then, of course, you realize that that habitat is also providing a place for many wildlife. There's the endangered wood stork There's the threatened gopher, the Florida black bear. There are a whole list of species that were found in the survey done by the applicant. And they recognize that this area is critical habitat for these threatened, endangered, and species of special concern. And so that is also inconsistent with the comp plan, because the comp plan says you will not allow mining that threatens endangered species. And there's also the canopy road provisions that say you will not allow any tree to be removed for access to adjacent uses, which is what the miners want to do. They want to go under the canopy road to bring the product from the mine to the existing mine further north that would lead north to the cogeneration plant. They want to transit everything out through that route. But in order to do that, they have to find some place to tunnel underneath the canopy road. And we contend that it would be impossible for them to do that without disturbing the roots and the canopy of the existing trees, which are very dense. And so, you know, it's a real, there's some real good reasons why you wouldn't want to destroy the habitat and the endangered species, nor allow destruction of the canopy road. And, you know, it was interesting. Planning Commissioner Widmar, when he heard everything and everything was said and done, he said, you know, I think this should be a greenway. There's no way that this is appropriate for mining. And he said, you miners would mine under the city of Brooksville if we'd let you.
Wow, I missed that. I must have been in the overflow room when that was said, because we were sitting in the overflow room before we spoke, a good group of us.
Right.
And we were looking up things on the phone. Basically, we looked up a collection of how many times they'd been fined, that which was on Google.
We have a whole list of all the violations on our website. They've been fined over $1 million.
Right. From all kinds of different places and locations.
Yeah, but
and,
over $1 million in Hernando alone.
Wow, that's significant.
Yeah, that's posted on our website, and we submitted that to the record of the proceedings. That I submitted that along with my comments to the planning department, so they have that record of violations. They know about the cogeneration plan and all those fines, and the fact that it's a source of air pollution, that it will affect Brooksville, nearby Brooksville, all our residents. It will absolutely affect the hospital across the street. It will absolutely affect the people in the business corridor, you know. And that's
Can we mention the cemetery as well? Because we know that that's...
Yeah, absolutely. That's one adjacent use that they almost forgot about. But the historic African-American cemetery is actually located within, on all sides, the land owned by the five applicants that put their lands together to create this parcel.
Right.
And so the cemetery itself was established in the early 1890s. One of the famous Likes families, a woman in the Likes family, deeded the land to her black cook because she wanted a place for the African Americans to be buried. And sad to say, this is an area where they had been burying their people who had been subjected to lynchings during the period of time when Brooksville was the capital of Florida. So this cemetery has a long history, an assorted history, and it has generations of African Americans who were pivotal in establishing what was earlier called the community of Spring Hill at that location. They're all buried there. The trustee, Alice Walker, gave a passionate presentation at the planning hearing in opposition to any encroachment on the vaults of the cemetery, because the blasting adjacent to the cemetery in this fragile karst ecosystem would shatter and readjust the ground, and the studies show that the cascading impacts will continue long after the mining has been completed. And so there's a very real possibility that the blasting will disturb the vaults where the remains of these early Hernando County pioneers are. And the other thing that's worth mentioning is that Alice has come up with a list of many of the people that were buried there were World War I veterans. And so there were several veterans, including yourself, who stood up and said, this is not respectful. How can we possibly honor the dead and pretend that we're letting them rest in peace when we're talking about a 100-foot or a 250-foot buffer next to an open-pit industrial lime rock excavation mine. I mean, it's just simply unbelievable. I mean, think in your mind, Anita, if there were some famous white person that was buried there, what an outrage there would be.
Right, and also to add, Viennese Black, Miss Black, she stood up maybe four or five people after Miss Walker did. And she had told me out in the hallway that she was still reviewing paperwork from the VA, which stated that for them to disturb this cemetery where veterans are buried is not only has a moral issue attached to it, but that it's completely illegal by the
VA. We're looking at that, and we're hoping to get more veterans organizations involved and standing up and helping us. And we're also, Alice Walker, Linda Welker was helping her make an application for the cemetery to be recognized as a historic site. And we have just learned yesterday that actually the county, as part of the comprehensive land use effort, has been compiling a list of all the historic cemeteries, and this African-American Spring Hill Cemetery is included in that application. It's going to be recognized and given recognition on the state list of historic sites, which is really good for it because there's that recognition of it, you know. But, you know, really, the land that was given to her is accessible from the main road through a sandy road that isn't even paved. The cemetery is enclosed with a kind of an old cattle fence. It's not even a proper fence. The place obviously needs to be maintained. It's been vandalized. The trustees of the cemetery really deserve more support from these big property owners that are seeking to excavate around her. And she should have funds to have proper historical records, you know, brought up to date and filed, and maintenance fund to keep the cemetery going because it is still accepting vaults today, and it should be properly fenced in. You know, there should be a lot more respect shown for these historic people, these generations of African Americans who were buried there.
They were some of the original settlers and pioneers of the whole area here.
That's right. And Viennese even stated during her presentation that she's like a fourth generation Timmins, you know, one of the families that is buried there. And Alice has her mother and her grandmother buried there, you know. And she talks about all the different family names that are buried there that started the history of Hernando County. Let me list just a couple of the names that she mentioned. And I don't know how many of you will know these names, but she says she has four generations buried there. Her grandfather, Henry Hart, Annie Ray Quartman, owned the land where the health department was, Curry Laster, Molly Fields, William Moody Timmons, Will Timmons, the Tommy Hasty family, Reverend Reese, Reverend Mobley and Annie Bell and Larry Timmons and other old pioneers are buried in this cemetery. And she said there are also many veterans. And so, you know, there's a real lack of respect for this important historical site. And I might add that the CMEX application had an archaeological survey done, and they conveniently omitted any mention of the cemetery.
Wow.
I mean, how can you do that? What they did was gave the guy the survey to survey the actual footprint of the mining without the cemetery in it because they're planning to give her a small buffer around it. Yet any survey should look at the surrounding immediate archaeologically significant features for adjacent impacts. But he somehow omitted to mention that. How convenient. I just feel like there hasn't been any respect for the African-American community in this county for a long time, and I feel that a lot more should be done.
What do you think are the most important things people can touch on when they send in public comments?
I think the the fact that we're at a juncture. Do we want a strong, sustainable community based on ecotourism and new industries? Or do we want to go back to the Stone Age and continue to remove, outright remove the valuable habitat that we have? I think focusing on the economics is critical because, as I've mentioned, Brooksville is so poor and the county itself is so lacking in economic growth. We really need to move on beyond the mining. Some say mining has been good for Hernando, and perhaps it was, but I feel that this is no longer the time that mining is going to be that good. Right now, we're looking at this as being really incompatible with the existing surrounding uses. We're looking at it being objectionable on the basis of the valuable habitat and endangered species in the area. You know, we're looking at it being a very serious health threat. And these are all very serious, you know, things. There's the cemetery there.
And people's property values really come into play here, because as soon as there's mining near anybody's home, I mean, the property values are going to go down.
That's a good point, Anita. And Jill Grady prepared a statement that gave four sources showing published studies done, showing that mining and similar activities do reduce property values. And the CEMEX people had an expert speak to that, and he said that he had done a survey of the residential areas, and he ran the numbers, and he didn't see any decrease in land values. But Jill wisely pointed out that his survey included a period during which mining had been going on for decades. So it really wasn't a before and after analysis, which is what we're looking at.
Right.
We want to get beyond the time period when residential values are diminished by being adjacent to mining and into a period when residential values increase because they're in an area that has protected environment and quality of life and freshwater wells that aren't contaminated and the kind of residential communities that don't endure blasting and dust and all the things that diminish property values. That's a very big issue.
So let me ask a hypothetical question then. You obviously have a vision for the future of Hernando County, and, you know, it probably involves tourism and ecotourism and just keeping things as natural as can be. So let us in on a little bit of your vision.
Well, I'm not a planner by profession. I'm an ecologist. I simply believe that we are all part of the natural world and that we, as much as the animals in it, depend on clean air, clean food, and clean water. So I think that above all, we need to protect those things for our own benefit as well as that of the rest of the natural world. So my vision would be to celebrate the beauty of nature around us and benefit and promote it and introduce others and get people here that can enjoy it as much as we do, the biking and the canoeing and the trails, the farms where you can get fresh blueberries and fresh vegetables. I mean, this is fabulous. We aren't a metropolitan area. We have such incredible good quality of life here, and to give all that up to be blasted with air pollution for mining just seems so inconsistent. So I would say my vision would be to say mining was good for us then, but now it's a new time and we should be more sustainable. I mean, I would love to see that parcel become an eco lodge or a solar farm or a park. Mary Ellen Urban had a letter to the editor where she said she thought it would make a great place to do a history center that identified all the early leaders of Hernando County and went through all the different industries that have supported us and the archaeology and allowed nature trails and allowed people to learn how to appreciate what we have here, you know. So these are some of the visions that have been floating around. And we would hope that the property owners would recognize that this is not the way it was. And, you know, what's interesting, Anita, the Tampa Bay Times has issued two editorials. They issued one back in June of 2011 when the CEMEX proposal first was floated, and the t- Times editorials entitled Push for Rock Mine is Short-Sighted Strategy. And it says, for a county that talks frequently about diversifying its economy, Hernando keeps returning to its old standbys tied to the construction and service industry. That was when the county was asking the Planning Commission to consider this rock mine proposal, you know. And they denied it then. They sent it back to CMEX and said, you need to meet with the neighbors and sort this out with the hospital and all the adjacent uses. They don't want it, you know. And so I think it's pretty obvious that we have a great opportunity, and if we play our cards right, we can be economically stronger, certainly over a period of 20 years, growing ecotourism, then going back and allowing excavation and open-pit industrial mining. I just don't see that as a part of our future.
How can people get in touch with this organization and with you?
Well, Neighbors Against Mining has a couple of ways. We do have a website, neighborsagainstmining.org. And thanks to you, Anita, we have Facebook. We're on Facebook. We've created events for the Planning Commission meeting. We'll probably create another one for the County Commission meeting. We will be meeting regularly. Our core group meets about once a week. If you're interested, you can always contact us. We do have an email. Just say no to mining at gmail.com. You can always email us, and we'll send you information on the next meeting. We are an all-volunteer group. Nobody's getting paid. Every dollar we raise goes toward paying legal fees, which, by the way, I want to mention, we will be needing to do a fundraiser or a fund drive, because this coming up County Commission meeting, we're going to need to have some experts to help in our case. We're going to be talking to our friends and getting donations in order to be prepared for that Board of County Commission meeting. And so you can get involved either as a volunteer. You can get involved by making a donation and helping us. You can certainly go online and submit your comments via email any day now to planning@hernandocounty.us. And if you go on our website, you'll find this information along with all of the emails for the county commissioners. And I would recommend that if you do send in comments, copy all the county commissioners so that they get them also. Another thing people can do to help us, and this has been happening, it's been great, we do have the petition drive going. So if you contact us, you can download the petition from our website, or you can email us and we'll send you the petition and go around to your neighbors and get them signed. We're going to turn them in on August 12th, and we're going for our goal is 1,000 signatures of Hernando County residents and property owners just saying no to mining. How can the commission ignore that?
And you can also get a link to that petition right on the website, neighborsagainstmining.org, and there is a link to the petition on the Facebook page, too.
We have actually three online petitions.
Yeah, Neighbors Against Mining in Hernando County, Florida. If you type that into the Facebook search, the group will come up. And also we're tweeting at hashtag No Mining Florida. So people will know how to reach us on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because I can venture to say if they're doing it in Hernando County, they're going to try to do it in other counties as well. So,
well, we did submit studies from Levy County, from Lee County. You know, Hernando is not the only county in Florida with lime rock deposits. And that, in fact, that's something I want to mention for a minute. One of the other reasons why this application was not consistent is because they failed to demonstrate the need for lime rock mining in this location at this point in time. And I think everybody knows there's been an economic downturn. The building industries in Hernando County have gone down, as they have across the country. And the lime rock demand has diminished as well. And so CMEX tried to tell us in their application that this is one of the only places they could get the lime rock. But in fact, there are many locations throughout Hernando County, even places that CMEX is currently mining that have lime rock. There are other mines from other companies in Hernando. There are other mines throughout the state. I have a map that shows all the different areas where Florida is mining for lime rock. And there are other states that have lime rock mines. And so one of the things that the commissioner noted in his comments was, you have not demonstrated any need. You don't need to mine here. You've got lots of other places. You've got less demand. In fact, the mining report that was submitted to the county commission a couple weeks ago, the CMEX report noted that at one of their locations, they did not mine any acreage during the past year. They simply sold off existing stockpiles. So, that, you know, the presumption that this is a strategic resource, that we need it, that we're short of it, this is the only place we can get it, is a false paradigm that CMEX has tried to promote, which we have tried to effectively rebut by submitting the mining report and statistics from the state showing that demand is down and that there are other places that they can mine.
Right. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I'm going to be doing the promotion for this show and adding all the links that we talked about. And, you know, what we'll do is we'll do a show at a later date and have you on again so we can get an update on the whole situation.
You're the best, Nita. Thank you much for all you do.
I think, you know, I believe in the old adage that, you know, if you can't get on the media, you have to be the media. Mm-hmm. And this is one issue that I think it's been really hard to get in the forefront, and there's been very little mainstream media coverage on this. So Floridians need to know, you know.
Absolutely. What's interesting is just before the hearing, CMEX did a tour for the local two main newspapers in town. And the press that came out after that was so slanted toward the mines. But, you know, the people get it. Like my husband said, there's an uprising. People get it. They're tired of a few people making a lot of money and the rest of us getting screwed. And that's what's happening with this. No one's going to get rich on this. No new jobs are going to happen. Our economic potential is going to be diminished. Our property values will go down. Our environment will be degraded. Our hospitals will
be
at risk.
And we'll be sick.
Exactly.
Some of us will literally end up being sick and dying from this.
For what? So five wealthy people can make more money? You know, it's crazy. And CMEX isn't even a U.S. corporation, you know?
Right. And people need to, you know, people need to know that.
Absolutely.
So we'll definitely have a recap possibly at the end of August, beginning of September, because by then we'll have a clearer picture on what's going to happen.
Well, we'll have some news. If we prevail, it'll be all celebration, and if we don't, it'll be on to the next battle.
Exactly. Okay.
Thank you so much, Anita. I really appreciate talking to you, and we'll be glad to come back on at your convenience.
And thank you for being on the show. So go ahead and stay on, and I'm going to take it off.
So that was our show for this evening, and I'm just so impressed with how Devon has been able to organize and get all of us organized on this effort here in Hernando County, and we will work really, really hard on stopping the mining here and stopping CMEX from putting in this 23rd mine in this county. I want to remind you all that you can check us out at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com, and the archive for this show is available forever, so if you click on the link, even in an hour, the archive will be ready, and you'll be able to download it, listen to it right from the link, and pass the link on to your friends so they can listen too. Let me remind you that we do have a GoFundMe link on my website at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. If you want to continue to fund independent media, just hit us up there. No donation is too small. And check us out next week for our latest installment. And you can join us and get in on the conversation by interacting with us on Wise Women Media, the radio show, which is our Facebook group. We also have a Facebook page, and we tweet at Wise Women Media. So I will see you all on the radio tomorrow night, or Sunday night, from 7:30 to 9, with Richard Spizak on newmercurymedia.com is the website, and it's the Progressive News Network that you will find there. When you go to the website, you can just click the player, and it'll play the latest show. So Sunday night from 7:30 to 9 and next Friday night at 10 o'clock for our next show. And I'm going to close with the Tedeschi Trucks Band, Part of Me, and we'll see you all next week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, a little bit.